Okay. Wow, what a worship service, huh? Presence of God, Holy Spirit. Let's bow again in prayer. I've got several directions that I could head, and I just want to be sensitive to the presence of God and what God wants. So, Father, again, we just thank you for your love for us and that you are love and that this is love. Not that we loved you, but you loved us and sent your Son to die for us. 1 John 4:8. God is love. And tonight, 1 Corinthians 13, the recent emphasis from and through our pastor, love never fails. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father's pastors praying, we think of so many faces and different needs, and it just, that thought in and of itself, Father, the promise and the declaration from your word, that you never fail. We just crawl into your arms and rest in that right now, Father. And speaking of your faithfulness, God, you know the needs of each and every one in this room tonight. And I thank you that you've already have begun the manifestation of your visitation and worship. And the anointing that was on Matt and the clearing of the atmosphere and just this, your presence is just awesome. And now, Father, I ask for that anointing to continue as it is. And Father, that you would use the manifestation of your presence to break any yokes. And Father, to set us free any place that we may need to be set free, Father, or we've been tripped up in any way. You know our needs. I ask, Father, that you would use me and just the things that you've been communing with me in. Father, that you'd bring them forth and just meet every need here tonight. And we look to you and ask for that hedge of protection. And also, Father, that you would help us to focus so we can hear from your Spirit and not be distracted, Father, with the thoughts that would try to take us away and lead us down rabbit holes. Help us to focus on you and your presence right now. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a doctrine that I learned from an Irish preacher in Gleaning last winter, and I'm wondering if anyone here has ever heard of this one or not, but it's the doctrine of theodicy. The doctrine of theodicy, okay? Now, the first time that I taught this, we had a dear sister in the body that thought I was absolutely joking about it. But it actually is a doctrine. It's a theological term, theodicy. And if you break it down in practical English, the first theos, speaking of God the Father, odd, is kind of odd, you see. Okay? we laugh, but really, that's the essence of the doctrine, and you can actually go and look it up, theodicy, okay? And what it refers to is how this idea, I'll try to put it in real terms that we practically can embrace and consider, and it's when God is working and we're not aware of it. And we can be at home praying and believing God for something and nothing seems to be happening, but down the street or a half mile away or maybe even in another part of the state or wherever, God is working and speaking to someone else and moving on our behalf. And he's putting things together, and in his timing, he will manifest his provision and the answer to prayer that we're praying. Now, there's another doctrine that can be applied and correlated with this for application of this theodicy. And it's the doctrine of the dark night of the soul. And the doctrine of the dark night of soul is mentioned and referred to in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. And there, Isaiah is writing, and he's given counsel to those that are, to the readers and to the people of God. And essentially, he depending on the translation, he gives the counsel that if you don't have anything from God, and I'm paraphrasing now, if you don't have an answer or any clue from God on something that you're facing, to don't try to make it happen in your own strength, number one, and don't try to light a fire with your own sparks, but rather, in verse 11, I believe, it goes on to say, it starts out and it says, he that has no sparks, essentially don't try to make your own and stay upon your God. Stay upon your God. Stay upon your God. Now, the dark night of the soul, again, is a doctrinal title that essentially describes the idea of those times in the battle, when the battle is raging, and we have areas where we have need, and we are seeking God, we are praying, we are fasting, we are waiting on the Lord, and it's like the question gets posed from the atmosphere, the question gets posed from within, where is God? And generally speaking, you also have this experience, not only where is God, but the enemy will project that God has abandoned you or forsaken you, when that, in fact, that is not the case. In actuality, in some ways, it's a form of testing, because what God will do at times, he will, in what perceives to be to us, he'll draw back. It seems like it anyways. It seems like our prayers don't have any effect. We wonder, may even be challenged in thinking that, why am I praying? I've prayed so often on this subject and so hard. It's like nothing's happening. Where is God? And just remember, you know, the scriptures that go that encourage us, James wrote that the effectual, fervent, energetic prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so when we're praying and nothing's taking place, or at least it seems like it. See, there's a key. It seems like, to our perception, nothing's happening. It seems like the issue isn't being addressed. And you're wondering, where is God? And one of the fruits of the ninefold fruits in Galatians chapter 5 of the Spirit that come into play during this time, if we have and are abiding in the Spirit's dwelling within us, we're walking in the Spirit, you're going to be walking in the fruit of long-suffering during those times. And when I say long-suffering, I mean long-suffering. And so we're getting some comments on that one. I can hear them. Long-suffering. But it's a fruit of the Spirit. And it definitely comes into play in terms of manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit in us and through us, that holds us during these times, such as the experience or the testing of the trial of the dark night of the soul. And in these times, and when we're praying and we're looking to God and God doesn't seem to be coming through, it's a time of refining. It's a time I've learned in the different trials that I've been in my life, that where I could classify them in this category, it really becomes an awesome time of fellowshipping in the Spirit with the fourth man in the fire. And we can actually, as if we're embracing and appropriating what we've been taught, we can actually have fun with the trial. And even let the Holy Spirit help us to entertain this idea of the doctrine of theodicy. Okay? And considering, okay, you know, what could God be doing? What could God be doing? Now, I'll give about 7-8 months ago, I've got a whole line of equipment in my shop that needs repair. Yeah, like 6 engine jobs. And I've been waiting on provision from Breakthrough for the financial ability to address those engine jobs. And right now, I've got the first two. I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Okay? And because things like that take money. And I was praying for a long time and asking God for provision in this area. And I've got people that I owe money to. And one, I've shared this before, but when it happened, I'll share it. I'm sure I'll share it fresh here tonight. And I've got this one shop in Saratoga that I had a whole host of different engine parts being repaired there in preparation to put into the two motors that I'm speaking of right now. And the owner of that shop is a believer, fellowships in another church. And the bill was fairly sizable. And I haven't been able to address the bill in quite some time. And I get a phone call from him. And I pick up the phone, and he says, hi, Larry. And I recognize the voice right away. So immediately through my mind, I'm thinking, oh, no. What am I going to say? Because I'm thinking he's going to want to address his bill, right? And he says, Larry, he says... And I'm waiting, I'm praying on God for the overall picture of what I just described. And he says to me, he says, Larry, he says, I've been praying and I heard from God. And he says, God told me that you're in trouble and that you need help. And he says, I want you to come and I want you to pick up all the parts that I've got that I've worked on for you. And he says, they're a gift for me to you from God. I'm like, I'm on the other end of the phone. I'm thinking, really? And he says, yeah. He says, God told me that you're in trouble and you need help. And I have the ability to help you. And he says, come get your parts. So I says, okay, when? He says, right now. So I put the phone down, I grabbed my hired man, I said, we're going for a ride. We headed to Saratoga, I got up there, and he said he reiterated what he had thought he had heard from God, and he says, you know, when you get back on your feet, if you want to do something, that's fine, it's between you and the Lord, but I honestly heard from God, and this is from God, and I want to bless you. And be obedient to God. And I just come home with that, and I was almost broken. I was broken, actually. And I realized, you know, God is speaking to a brother about my situation. And he's been working on him the whole time. I wonder what else he's doing in other areas. You know? Now, that isn't really so odd. But I could share with you other situations where God has moved on our behalf and other members in the body where, boy, the testimony is kind of odd when you hear it. But it's all God, and it's a demonstration of his love and his faithfulness. And so as I share this tonight, I just want to really encourage you. If you're facing something and you've been before God and maybe it's been a long period of time, just trust that God is working. Maybe God has to shut down an area of like in a job situation. Bob Dobbs is one of our elders has been giving testimony of how he's been waiting on God for different changes, waiting and praying and praying and praying and praying and then all of a sudden God shows up. And God moves. And we all have these testimonies. And isn't it an awesome thing when God shows up and God moves? You know, Joshua, I recently been teaching a series and focusing on Joshua and taking down strongholds. And one of the things that God had Joshua do when they crossed the Jordan is he had Joshua take 12 men from different representations of the tribes and to go into the dry riverbed and pull out a stone and to make on the riverbed on the other side where they crossed over to an altar of remembrance. Now, if you will, I'd like you to think after we shut down here tonight on your own as you go home, but just think about and let the Holy Spirit bring to remembrance answers to prayer, miracles that you've experienced. And I know for many of us, because we've been taught well, we've established in our hearts these landmarks, these altars of remembrance. To that altar that was built out of stone, the reason for it being requested by God for Joshua to do for the nation is so that their children could look back and look at the altar and say, well, what's this all about? And they would be able to rehearse the story. Well, there was a day in our journey when God, just like the Red Sea, held back the waters and we crossed the river on dry land. And when we face things in our trials that look like rivers that are larger than the Jordan, when we face mountains that we need to climb, remember the word says in Haggai that my God shall make my feet like hinds' feet. Now, a hind is a type of mountain goat that has been designed by God to climb on the high crevices of hard-to-walk places in the mountains, on the high cliffs, and to do it in an agility of that's just remarkable, as if they're walking like us on flat ground. And what he's saying through Haggai and says to the reader and to you and I tonight, that if you've got a mountain that you've been that you're facing and you got to climb it, God will make your feet like hinds' feet and enable you to climb that mountain and to take that mountain. And even in Mark 4:23, to level that mountain as you speak to it and trust God to give you the authority and the anointing and the faith to take down that mountain, to climb that mountain. It's a promise from God. And God is so faithful. So, you know, just look to God and trust. And I hate using that word just in my language. Look to God and trust Him. Believe God for provision. And ask Him to give you His word and the faith that comes from the production of the work of the word to overcome whatever it is that you may be facing, because God is faithful. But these altars of remembrance. Altars of remembrance. God performed a miracle in bringing the people through the Red Sea and parting it, and bringing the people across Jordan. And this is where I was going. I'm back there now. I want to challenge you to think about the things that God has done in your experience that are an answer to prayer or a miracle, a literal miracle. And then reflect and meditate on what God did there when you're thinking and considering and facing what's before you right now and in your future. Because God is faithful. And what He does is He works progressively. And he enables us to take mountains and cross rivers. Little ones at first sometimes. Sometimes they're big, but generally speaking, they're little. They come in the form of little things. And the purpose of the little things is to prepare us and to build our expectation and faith for the bigger things. And the enemy is very good at, when one problem is solved, bringing in another problem that's a little bit bigger than the one we were through before. And God allows that. In fact, I mentioned this in the series dealing with the book of Joshua. As Joshua went through and began to conquest all the strongholds that were in the promised land, you read testimony after testimony. There's a pattern. And he would vanquish and eliminate one or two kings, and the next guy in the next region would hear about it. The king over here would hear about what they did, and he'd go get his friends and build an alliance and come against the people of Israel. And you would see that, you know, each time a little bit stronger. But every time, God faithful, God faithful. God would enable Joshua and his people to take out the enemies. And eventually they would possess and inhabit the promised land without any threats. And God wants to do that with us. He wants us to know that he is the God Almighty who's able to deal with anything. All he needs to do is speak, and it will be manifested. And I want to encourage us again tonight. One of the things I was purposing in my spirit to touch on, and I'll do that now. Now, I've been preaching a series. It's going on 2 years now. I've dedicated and focused my portion on Wednesday nights to healing and believing God for miracles. And I have been absolutely amazed, and really it's been the catalyst for much of the content of where we've gone in the Wednesday studies. Because I've been learning a lot in focusing and beginning and studying that subject. And I've stood in this pulpit, and I've made some claims and some projections, if you will, as far as what I'm believing God for and what I believe the Holy Spirit has shown me. And I believe that God is going to do those things still. My expectation is growing. Part of the purpose for what I've said here tonight, of going back and looking at the faithfulness of God and the answers to prayer, the provisions and the miracles that we've experienced, and we've experienced them. I've already experienced enough miracles that I can't go back, and I don't want to go back. And my expectation has grown as to what God's going to do in the future. And I'll say this, it's not a matter of us learning a program so we can press God's buttons and make it happen. No, what I'm trying to be is sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is desiring and initiating and wanting to build us up in faith for. And I was talking with Mark I touched in today's study, and I'll bring it forth right now again. Psalm 78, the commentary there, I believe it's in the 40s, the early 40s of Psalm 78. God said that the nation of Israel limited him, the Holy One of Israel. And I don't want to be in that class. I don't want to box God in. I don't want to limit what God wants to do. Rather, I receive the challenge, and I yield myself to the Holy Spirit that he may work when he's willing and ready to work, to do the miracles, to answer the prayers, to bring in the provision in his timing and in his way. Preached that message years ago. Pastor Stevens is the first one that I heard it from. The nature of the name of God, the nature of the name of God in Exodus chapter 3. How in the name of Yahweh in Exodus chapter 3 is spelled out five specific attributes that are tied to the definition of the name of God. And it's that he knows what we're going through. He hears our cries. He remembers his promises towards us and meditates on them. And in love, he comes down from above with a provision and deliverance that will bless us, glorify him, and draw others to Christ. All that going into the nature of the name of Jesus Christ. And as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ and believe, God is faithful. God is faithful. I've got areas in my life where I'm believing God for a breakthrough. More than one. And we'll have more than one. You know, James chapter 1, verse 1. Count it all joy, brethren, when you are surrounded by what? Multiple trials, tribulations, temptations, depending on the translation, but the key word there is multiple. And the idea is that there are times as we walk as disciples when it's coming at us from every direction, every direction. But that song that Matt led us in worship tonight, the God that goes before us, the God that stands behind us, the God who's by our side, the God of angel armies, he's our God. He is God, and he is able. And no matter what you face, think about his faithfulness in the past and look to him in faith. And don't limit him. Don't limit him. Don't limit him. You know, I was commenting today, there's some popular radio preachers that are out there that are on the stations that we're on. I won't use a specific name right now, but their position in their theology, and they're very popular. They don't believe that the gifts are for today and that they're not operational. They don't believe in healing. They don't believe that, I can go down the list, but just those two right there are enough that if you're exposed to them, it plants a seed in the heart that produces subconscious, subliminal unbelief. Because you hear a popular speaker say, well, I don't believe the gifts and healings are for today. And it goes into the spirit, and you begin to question it. Look, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God doesn't change. And Jesus Christ is in the miracle business and answering prayer today. And he's going to answer prayer tomorrow. And many of the prayers that we're praying and believing God for, and many of the mountains that we're facing, he's going to take them down in his timing. And we'll probably be surprised when it happens in the way that it happens. You know why? Because when God shows up, God shows up. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our God is an awesome God. And our God is able to do far and exceedingly above and beyond what we can even imagine or Paul wrote to the Corinthians twice. It's framed in that presentation. Beyond what we can even conceive, he answers. Far and beyond our own conception or imagination even. And I think of this scripture, Romans chapter 8. If God, who spared not his uniquely begotten only Son, but delivered him up for us, shall he not also give us all things freely? See, God is for us. And in Romans, Paul writes again five different times, if God be for us, who shall be against us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is of the world, Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Think about those miracles. Think about the answers to prayer. Think about his faithfulness. And then let the Holy Spirit cultivate our hearts and our minds and our spirit, renew our minds, and give us faith and produce faith that will release the Holy One of Israel to do what he wants to do. And don't put him in a box. Don't let anything limit God in your lives. For with God, all things are possible to them that believe. And with God, nothing, hear me, nothing shall be impossible. There's a city, Brother Mark brought this to my attention. There's a city in Joshua's stories named Lachish. I think, is that it, Mark? Lachish? Okay. And the definition of the city, the name means invincible. It's an enemy city inhabited by those that were in it claiming to be invincible. Ever hear anybody say, I am invincible? The enemy says, I am invincible. And God says, yeah, right. Okay. And God's able to take them out. I'm probably over time. I'm going to shut down right now. Okay. Just trying to be sensitive to time. But what's that? Still got 4 minutes. Okay. I'm going to use it. Thank you. Invincible. Steven Seagal had these movies that he put out. How many here? Raise your hand if you know who Steven Seagal is. He's a guy that put out the movie on a series. Under Siege. Under Siege. Okay. And the second Under Siege was about a train that was taken over by a bunch of terrorists. And there was this guy that was a computer whiz, and he had a control over a satellite weapon that could take out anything on the surface of the earth. And they sent in stealth bombers to take out the train because of the potential what was on the train to raise havoc. And he located the bombers, pressed the button, and took out the bombers. And he had two or three scenarios like that. And I'll never forget it. And he had this expression when Seagal finally, he went face to face with Seagal. He stood up and he says, I am invincible. Boom. He was gone. Okay. So, and that's what God will do with our enemies. Okay. Our enemies will say, invincible. And God says, boom. You're out of here. And along that line, on a serious note, and that is serious, as though we can laugh about it, because it's fun to think about the enemy going boom, disappearing in our lives, or a mountain blowing up. But you know, I got on the subject on strongholds and studying addiction. And addictions can be one of those things that cry loud and clear, my stronghold on this person is invincible. Well, you know what, Mr. Invincible? You can go to hell because my God is able to send you there. And my God is able to break that stronghold, just like the walls of Jericho. Joshua followed a specific strategic strategy as the Spirit of God moved through him to the people that were under him. For 7 days they marched around Jericho. On the seventh day they marched 7 times and shouted and blew the horns loud and clear. And the impenetrable natural, the walls came down. And archaeologists will tell you they come down the way the Bible says that they came down, and they're not naturally supposed to be able to do that. Because God is able. Our God is awesome. Our God is mighty. Our God is God. And he is love. And I'll close with this, because I love it. No matter what you face, no matter what you face that cries out, invincible, love never fails. Amen? Amen. Love never fails. Father, as we close this service tonight, if there's anybody that's listening on tape, or perhaps there might even be somebody here because I can't see, and that's a miracle that I'm believing God for too. And by the way, my eyes are healing. Pastor Eric recently brought out how it says that our God in Psalm 103 and Exodus 16:15, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And in the Hebrew, it is that he is in the progressive progress of healing us. Okay? Our God is healing us as we believe him for the grace to do so. And if you're here tonight or listening, the first healing that you need, the first miracle that you need, is the miracle of the gift of salvation and the impartation thereof from the Holy Spirit of God. If you'll pray with me and just pray in your own heart, in your own words even, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. For God is love, 1 John 4:8. I started with this. And this is love. Not that we loved God first, but that he loved us and sent his son to die for us with the promise that if we believe on him and call upon him in the name of Jesus, we shall receive the miracle gift of salvation. So, dear Jesus, I want that gift of salvation. I want to go to heaven. I want to know you. Please save me in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, please contact a believer or somebody in the church here and let them know so we can help you in your journey and your growth as a newborn babe in Christ. And for each and every one else here, Father, I pray, help us to take the challenge tonight to reflect on the miracles and the answers of prayer that we've experienced and help let you build altars of remembrance that our faith would be increased, that we may possess and receive all that you have for us, all the victory, all the provision, all the deliverance, all the love, because love never fails. In Jesus' name, amen.